Hey, I'm Andy. We are continuing our dive into the book of Acts. And you don't know me, but I want to let you in on just a little secret. I am a little bit of a conspiracy theory nut. Not full-on tinfoil hats and bomb shelter, but like my Wikipedia and podcast histories might have a Sasquatch or two in them. I'm not nuts. I just think it's fun to hear some stuff that won't ever make it into history books. And some of these conspiracies are true. So you want to hear my favorite real conspiracy? And this sounds crazy, but it is, and it's true. This is a true conspiracy that is over 100 years old, and it was strategically designed by the wealthy elites to rob you and I of power. There was this shadowy group that met in Switzerland in the early 1920s, and at this point in history, only about half of homes had electricity. This was cutting-edge technology that was just going mainstream, and representatives from huge corporate giants like Philips and GE and Osram met together to hatch a plot. They actually worked together behind closed doors to intentionally make light bulbs last shorter and shorter amounts of time. Now behind me, you can see the actual labs where they tested each other's bulbs to make sure that they all failed early. In essence, they cut the lives of these light bulbs from over 2,500 hours to less than 1,000. Their motive, just greed. By ensuring that light bulbs failed sooner, they guaranteed a demand for replacements and raised their own profits in the process. If you want the full story, you can follow the investigations of government authorities and journalists and how they figured this out and exposed it to the world. And this might seem like a funny bit of outdated trivia, but it is a timely example of how there are forces colluding in the dark to rob and steal you of power. And this isn't just true for light bulbs, it's true for your life. And frankly, it's still true today, and I think it always has been. Today, we're gonna talk about the power that you were designed to live with and what you can do to get it back if you've lost it. But what does power look like? Well, I happen to believe that God made, designed, and created us to operate in power. And the power I'm talking about, it doesn't just come from within, it actually comes from Jesus. We get more power when we receive more of his Spirit. Jesus gives us his power because he loves us. It was his way to leave with us a token of his love and a representative of his power, even as he left the earth. But sometimes that can just seem a little ethereal, right? It might be easier to identify power in your life by looking at the places where you actually don't have it. So here's a couple questions for you to just help you discern where you could use more of God's power in your life. Where do you feel stuck? Where do you feel stalled out? Where do you feel like you just keep running up and banging your head against the same anxieties or problems? Or maybe you just feel lost. Maybe you just feel unsure about where to go, or unsure if you actually have anything meaningful to contribute or to give to the world. Today, we're gonna look to the Bible, we're gonna look to science, and we're actually gonna look to the life of a man named Peter to discover what a life of power looks like and how we can burn bright for the long haul. And as a heads up, we'll actually be taking communion a little later today, so go ahead and grab something to eat or drink for later. So let me start by introducing you to a guy named Peter. Peter was a fisherman, but he was also the first pope. He was this blue-collar brawler and a bit of a rule breaker. He was the first person to recognize Jesus for who he was, the long-awaited Messiah. And he was also impetuous and is known for being bold all the way to crossing that line and just being dumb. You might remember this little incident with Peter from the night Jesus was arrested. I love this. And I was like, turn the other cheek, bros. Then Peter chopped his ear off. Yes, that happened. It's in the Bible. And it's an example of who this guy was. Now, if you looked at Peter's sort of resume for being a spiritual leader or a church hero, he was never going to get a call back. But Jesus had something in him. Something in him from Jesus made Peter powerful and used him to change the world. The first instance of this is actually in Acts 2:14, where it says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed to them, you who are Jews, indeed all who are staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. This is a guy who is a humble fisherman proclaiming the truth about who God is to an angry mob. Man, this is what power can enable you to do and so much more. But it's not because Peter was so great. It's because Peter stayed connected to God's power in his life. That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for my family. And that's what I want for you too. 2 Peter 1:3, written by Peter, says this: everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. To say, everything you need for life, God has given you, he has put into you. We need to stay connected to that power. That's just as true for Peter then as it is for you and I today. Now, as I said, Peter was an unlikely hero and spiritual leader, but his friendship with Jesus transformed him. He went from being Simon, which was literally meant reed, like a plant that would blow with the slightest breeze. And Jesus changed his name to rock, something immovable and solid. That right there is an example of God's power at work in him. And I believe that's what Jesus' power can do for you, to make you solid and immovable, regardless of what life throws your way. Now, Peter lived in an incredible time of tension and dissension. It was filled with false teaching and confusion, and these really different, contradictory, competing ideas on the right way to live. Does this sound familiar to anyone, right? We live in a very similar time in a lot of ways. And this was a time where God's power showed up. Have you ever seen a miracle? I have. It is crazy. And not everyone is always happy about it. Now, the person who healed is usually happy, but people who are around seeing this, they get angry, they don't understand it. And that confusion leads to anger in them. Sometimes they're quiet about it, and sometimes they're not. That anger spills over. There's an example of exactly this with Peter in the book of Acts. Peter was actually walking through town and heals this guy's arm on the fly, just as he's going about his day. And then Peter proceeds to preach and tell people about Jesus' power. He gets interrupted by the local governing authorities, and they say, "By what power or what name do you do this?" Meaning, who said you were allowed to do this? And honestly, how did it work? They couldn't understand. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Goes on to say, when they saw the courage of Peter, John, and realized that these were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, Peter knew where his power came from. It allowed him to stand up in the face of a mob, to stand up to authorities, to be that rock in the midst of chaos. And come on, like, isn't this amazing? Wouldn't you like to have some of that? Now, the Bible isn't just this cute, clinical, historical book. No, this is countercultural. This is rebellious. This is punk rock right here. And I want you to have a life that is bigger than the status quo, that pushes back against the norm of what the world tries to just get you to settle for. I want you to experience your own miracles, healings of your mind, body, and heart that do more than just save you from hell later, but that enable you to bring heaven to earth now. Let me jump out of the Bible for just a second here. I've got a friend who's a physicist, and he and I, we don't talk physics because I just can't understand it. My brain does not work that way. But as I was preparing for this talk, I realized that there's something from the scientific world that I think mirrors a spiritual reality of God's power really well. So let's go back to high school physics for a second. This is the formula for power. The formula for power is power equals voltage times current. It's a little boring. Okay, so let me give it to you a little different here. Power equals potential energy multiplied by movement, right? It's a little better, a little more real world for us, but stick with me for 2 minutes. I wanna dive into this a little deeper. And if you aren't experiencing the power God designed you for, I think it's because you're missing at least one of these two things. First, potential energy. In science, potential energy is defined as the stored energy in an object due to its position, properties, or the forces acting on it. It's like your context. For our purposes, this is your position, your properties, and the forces that are at work in your life. So first, position. What's your context? Are you a student or a retiree? Are you a C-suite executive or creative? Are you somebody who lives in an urban context or a rural one on a farm? These are all important and will change the way this power is expressed in your life. Now, what about your properties? What's your personality? What life stage are you in? There are different ways that God's power can show up in your life based on who you are and where you are. God made you specifically, and I believe he put you where you are intentionally. And you might be missing out on God's power because you refuse to believe that there is a reason that God put you where you are and who you are, or that you're not stepping into that. So I'm not gonna camp out here super long, but remember that the Bible has a lot to say about the what and the why of you and I being here on this earth. Psalm 139 says it this way: I will praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So your potential energy will be drained by the world trying to lie to you about who you are, or by you ignoring who you were created to be. Peter allowed Jesus to define his identity when he changed his name. He also allowed Jesus to reset his position when Jesus said, come with me. And he left everything and just left his career, left his home, and began to walk with Jesus. I don't know what that looks like for you, but it's something to consider. As you might remember from high school science, there's potential energy and then there's kinetic energy. Let me explain this right now in the least scientific way possible. A few years ago, I was walking through Kroger with my family doing some shopping, and I was blissfully unaware that inside the stomach of my 3-year-old son, there was a great deal of stored potential energy happening there. And as the pressure grew, he started to complain, and I just picked him up so we could finish our shopping faster, just oblivious. Then in an instant, just like a science fair volcano, Andrew converted that stored potential energy into kinetic energy by throwing up straight down my neck and absolutely soaking my shirt and my pants down into my shoes, like squishy with vomit. It was nasty. It's yucky, but it was also a bad metaphor for what it looks like for God's power to be present in your life. It's not just having power, it's that power being expressed. It's that power being multiplied by movement. That energy must move you to do something, say something, build something, break something. It must turn into action or it's worthless and it'll just burn out or fizzle out. God's power in your life isn't there to make you comfortable. It sure didn't do that for Peter, right? It didn't make his life easy, it made it meaningful. It didn't make him comfortable, it made him powerful. The Bible talks about Jesus saving power. That word in Greek was sozo, literally meaning to save, heal, and deliver. Again, Jesus' power isn't just to save you from going to hell later, it's to empower you to bring heaven to earth now so that you can encourage, so that you can build up, that you can heal, you can restore, that you can creatively solve problems and meet needs. To quote a very different Peter, with great power comes great responsibility. Now, I love Spider-Man, but the Bible puts it really well too. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There are good things that God has prepared you to do. God's power in your life should make you want to do something. It's taking that potential energy stored in your life and multiplying it by the movement, by the current. That is where power happens. Some uncomfortable honesty here. I am not a Peter. I'm not that like just naturally brave guy. I'm not even a Brian Tome who just likes to go run around and try the next new thing. I tend to weigh my words and actions really carefully. And too often I'm quiet when I should speak up and I stand still when I should have moved. I had an example of this not that long ago where a guy that I was in relationship with, I knew by what he was saying and more by what he wasn't saying, that there were really, really bad things happening behind the scenes in his life. That addiction was taking a hold, that he was betraying the people that were closest to him. And I knew in a moment, I should have said something. I should have called him out. I should have challenged him. I should have asked him to step up. And instead, because it was comfortable and it would have been really, really awkward, I was silent. And I cannot tell you the amount of heartache, the amount of pain that has happened over the last 2 years since that. The pain to his wife, the pain to his children is brutal. And it was because I was passive. Because God's power in me didn't cause me to step forward, to lean in, and to make a bold move. And while I regret that deeply, I'm also learning. I'm learning that the more I step out, the more I take risks, the more I get to see God do really cool stuff. If you read Hebrews 11, this is where all followers of Jesus who made an impact, all the saints and all the heroes that we see in the faith, they have in common. They have this thing in common where they moved, where they leaned in, where they stepped forward, where they spoke up. So let me just ask you a couple questions. Where are you stuck? Where are you not moving? Where do you need to lean into the current of God's power in your life and make a move? I'll give you a second. What comes to mind? Should you ask her to marry you? I don't know. Should you make the move? Should you start the business? Should you go back to school? Should you get the gym membership? Should you schedule that time with the counselor? Should you put off that thing that, should you lean in and do that thing you've been putting off? Man, experiencing God's power only happens when we allow it to move us. Now, here's a pro tip. Don't do this alone. There's an entire other metaphor that I was gonna go into and introduce here that was gonna get real nerdy and be about the pairing of electrons and how we can't do this alone. It was gonna be boring and not worth the 4 minutes of your life it was gonna take. So let me just tell you something here. The spiritual life is not something that can be done alone. You need people around you. If you're a part of the Crossroads community, you heard Demanuel talk earlier about how we aren't just content. We aren't just a thing designed to watch. We're supposed to be a community that you can belong to. And if there's one thing that I would invite you into this year to help you understand more of how God uniquely made you and how you can move on that, how you can take action on that in your context, city, life stage, your personality, whatever, it would be to join us this summer for what we call the Anywhere Weekend. We did this for the first time last year, inviting people from all over the globe to come to Cincinnati for a weekend of vision, connection, and of understanding how their unique wiring can allow them to be the church all over the globe. And it was incredible. Now, we believe in this so deeply, we'll even help make it happen, whether that's lodging or covering experiences. We are so excited about this. So whether you're single or bringing your family, whether you're 6, 16, or 65, man, you will have an incredible time. The food and the experiences are all on us. There's so much more I could say about it, but head to crossroads.net/anywhereweekend for all the details and RSVP. Now, if you've been around church for any length of time and Peter comes up, it often has to deal with Peter's failures. Disowning Jesus when he was arrested or when he walked on the waves and then he began to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus, right? I think that's in some way because we as people just tend to be hyper aware of our own shortcomings and failures, right? Isn't this true for you? For most of us, we can probably think about the things that we're bad at more quickly than the things that we're good at. Now, in just a minute, we're gonna take communion. And oftentimes in church, communion is a time where we acknowledge our shortcomings and seek God's forgiveness. And that is totally appropriate and right and healthy, but it isn't the whole story. There's a much bigger through line here, and I don't want you to miss it. The story of Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection is Jesus' love for you. Jesus died so that you could receive his power. The beautiful truth is that Jesus' power in your life is actually inseparable from his love for you. I mean, do you understand really how loved you are? I mean, really, like not just in your head, but in your heart. Do you understand that Jesus loves you? That he died for you, not someone else, but for you? Think for a second about the things that you do well. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're funny. Maybe you're a great friend. Think about the beauty and how incredible it is about how your mind works. Think about how miraculous your body is. Think about how incredible it is that you exist at all. You are so loved. And God put you where you are for a reason. He filled you with all kinds of potential and purpose so that you could receive his loving power. So wherever you are, it's not an accident. You are not an accident. It's intentional. Your family, as imperfect as it is, your college, your hometown, your personality, you are a gift to the world. You are here because you are loved and you were made to receive God's power, even with your quirks, with your idiosyncrasies, with your shortcomings, with your, I don't know, teeth that are a little crooked, with your brain that's sometimes a bit forgetful, but with your heart that wants to do good and isn't always sure how, you are loved. So as we take communion, I want us to do this not just in light of our shortcomings, but as a celebration of how God loved you and wanted you back so badly that he gave up heaven to live on earth and to go through hell for you. That's the real story. That when Jesus met with his friends, he wanted them to experience his love and his power. And just before he was arrested and murdered, he held up a piece of bread, maybe like this one, and said, "Because I love you, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat." You can go ahead and do that now. And then, with his friends all around him, he held up wine. He said, "This is my blood shed for you. Take and drink." Go ahead and do that now. Now this moment and this reality is beautiful and incredible, and it might seem too good to be true, and yet it is. You are loved, and it is an absolute tragedy that anyone has made you feel as if you weren't, because Jesus loves you up to and past the point of death. That is how much he cares for you. You might be new to faith, or you might have gone to church your whole life, and in either case, the odds are good that you want and need to experience more of Jesus' loving power in your life and to receive that in a fresh way. And if that's you, I want you to pray with me right now. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, we thank you that you lived a life that we couldn't live and died a death we deserved so that we could be reconnected to you and your love and power. God, help us to fully receive that in a way that doesn't allow us to stand still, but fundamentally changes us from the inside out. Thank you for the gift of your love. I will try to stay connected to it every day of my life moving forward. Amen. If you prayed something like that for the first time today, I would love for you to just send me an email at andy.reiter@crosswoods.net. Or you can chat into D-Man and the team online so that we can pray for you and encourage you in your life of power with Jesus. We are not just content to watch. We are a community in which you can experience Jesus' love for you and to figure out what it looks like for you to walk in power and in confidence and in boldness in a way that changes the world. Pray with me one more time. Father, thank you for your power. Let it change us and let it change the world. Amen.